If you've ever had the feeling that things were hopeless, hold on. You may feel you're facing an impossible situation, but the Bible says God is able to do far more than we would ever dare to ask or even dream of. Infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, or hopes. Now, hope comes from having a purpose. Hope is as essential to your life as air or water. And wonderful changes are going to happen in your life as you begin to live it on purpose. God says, I know what I'm planning for you. I have good plans for you, not plans to hurt you. I will give you a hope and a good future. I'm Rick Warren, and this is Daily Hope.
Today on Daily Hope with Pastor Rick Warren, we continue in our series called The Invisible War. In these lessons, we'll take an in-depth look at the unseen world of good and evil and how the spiritual side of life directly impacts our day-to-day existence in ways we never imagined. If you've ever had the sinking suspicion that there are unseen spiritual forces working against you, you're going to want to stay with us, because in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you about a special 7-session DVD series and workbook from Pastor Rick called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle Against Temptation. You can take a sneak peek right now by going to rickwarren.org while you listen. And if you want, you can just text the word daily to 313131. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a message called, Why is Life in This World So Hard?
Why is life so hard in this world? Everything seems to be a battle. Nothing is easy. And the fact is, life is difficult. Would everybody agree with that? It's not easy. Life is difficult. It just doesn't come handed to you on a platter. And so we ask this question, why is life so hard? Why is there suffering in the world? Now, friends, that's one of the most important questions you'll ever ask in life. It's been asked by thousands, millions of people, and is actually asked thousands of years ago by a guy named Job. In Job chapter 7, verse 1, he says this, why is life so hard? Why is life so hard? And why do we suffer? This weekend, I want us to look at the reason, the results, and the right response to the difficulties you face in life. Now, I want to begin by first looking at the cause, the reason. Why is it so difficult to live on this planet? You might write this down. The Bible says, rebellion against God broke everything. Rebellion against God has broken literally everything in life. Now, it all started back with the first couple, Adam and Eve, in the Garden of Eden. When God created the world, everything was perfect. It was paradise. And Adam and Eve had no problems, no pain, no sorrow, suffering, sadness, sickness, no trials, temptations, troubles, no defeats, distractions, discouragements, despair, depression. None of this was in the Garden of Eden. It was all perfect. It was paradise. But one day, Adam and Eve decided that they wanted to do what they wanted to do. Now, God had said, you can do everything you want to do in paradise, but just one thing. That's the minimum temptation possible. He said, you can do anything you want to in this paradise, except one thing. What does man and woman do? Immediately do the one thing God says don't do. Now, why did he even give them a choice? Because without a choice, they can't choose to love God. If you're forced to love God, if you have no choice, then it's not real love. Adam and Eve said, we know better. We know what'll make us happy. We're going to do what we want to do. We want to be gods. And they chose to do the one thing God said, don't do. And the Bible says this, Romans chapter 5. Sin came into the world because of what one man did. And with sin came death. Before sin, there was no death in the world. There was no sadness in the world. There was no sorrow. There was no difficulty in the world. People would not die. Adam and Eve could have lived forever as long as it was a perfect environment. It was only when everything got broken that sin brought death into the world. Now, not only did Adam and Eve make that choice, I've made it. And you've made it. And everybody else in the world has made it. We have all said, I don't want to do the right thing. I want to do the easy thing. We've all said, I don't want to say the truth. I want to say what's convenient. We've all said, I don't want to be what God wants me to be. I want to be what I want to be. I want to be my own boss. I think I know what will make me happy more than God does. We've all done this. And the Bible says in Isaiah chapter 53, all of us have strayed away like sheep. You know, you don't have to teach a sheep to stray. It's natural. It's in their nature. They just naturally are prone to wander. And it says, like sheep, all of us have strayed away. We have left God's path to follow our own paths. And that means we've all done our own thing. We've all said many times in our lives, God, I'm going to do what I want to do. Even though I know what you've said to do is the right thing, I don't want to do the right thing. I want to do what I want to do. And the Bible says in Proverbs 20, verse 9, the next verse, no one can say, I'm innocent. I've never done anything wrong. So we've all broken God's laws. We've all done wrong things. We don't measure up to our standards, much less God's. And we have all not done what God told us to do. The Bible calls that rebellion. Anytime God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're actually in a war with God.
That's Pastor Rick Warren with just a portion of today's study called Why is Life in This World So Hard? From our series called The Invisible War. The second half of today's study is coming up next.
Do you want to live a victorious life? You can. Everyone is vulnerable to temptation, but few know how to fight it. From the moment we wake up, there's a spiritual war raging around us. In order to effectively fight this war and experience victory, we must be equipped with knowledge of the tactics that Satan uses to ensnare us. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick will teach you how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to stumble believers: passions, possessions, and position. If you want to win the battle against temptation, it is critical that you know how to fight the surprisingly predictable ways that Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. Just go to rickwarren.org to get your copy, or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you have a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131.
And once again, here's Rick Warren.
Anytime God tells you to do something and you don't do it, you're actually in a war with God. Because God created you to do certain things. When you say, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. It's like a little kid telling his friend, I don't think so. I'm going to do what I know mommy told me to do this. I know daddy told me this. I don't think so. That's called rebellion. Now, I don't want to go too detailed into this, but there are 3 kinds of rebellion. And you need to know this so you know these terms. Because one of them is real familiar, but the other 2 aren't familiar to you. There are 3 kinds of ways that we rebel against God. Would you write these down? The first one, you know this one. It's called sin. Sin. Now, that's a very common term. Sin. What's the middle letter of the word sin? And that's what sin is all about. I want what I want, and I want it now, and I'm going to be the center of my own life. I am in charge. Sin is all about I, me, myself, and I. But actually, the word sin means to fall short. It means to miss the mark. It's actually an archery term. It comes from like shooting a bow and arrow. Sin is actually an archery term. If you were to set up a bullseye here on this stage, and you had a bow and arrow, and you were to aim for the bullseye, and you shoot the arrow, and if that arrow didn't have enough energy and it fell short, in archery, that's called a sin. It means you missed the mark. It means you fell short. It means you didn't reach the goal. And sin means I don't measure up to God's perfect goal for me. I miss the mark. I fall short. I don't quite make it. I'm not perfect. I'm inadequate to make perfection in my life. I fall short. Yesterday afternoon, I was watching one of my favorite shows on TV, the old Robin Hood reruns. And I've watched them a dozen times. And there's one episode where the sheriff of Nottingham decides he's going to smoke out Robin Hood to capture him by planning a archery competition, because he knows Robin Hood's the best archer in the land and he cannot not show up at a competition. So he plans this competition. Robin Hood shows up dressed in disguise. Of course, everybody knows who Robin Hood is except the king, who's kind of blind. And Robin Hood gets up and he starts shooting, and he pulls his bow and arrow and he shoots, and it hits the target, bullseye, dead on. Then he pulls out another arrow and he shoots it again, and that arrow splits the arrow in the bullseye. Nice story. But you've never done that with your life. And neither have I. We all fall short. And we don't make it to the standard of perfection. Now, that's called sin. Now, there's a second word that you're probably not familiar with, but it's just as important, and it's called transgression. Would you write that word down? Transgression. Now, a transgression is the exact opposite of a sin. It doesn't mean you fall short. It means you go too far. It means you go past the boundary. You break the law. It is an intentional, deliberate disobedience. Sin can be, I just didn't measure up. I wasn't good enough. I wasn't perfect. But transgression means I intentionally break the law. I go past the boundary. If I'm driving down the freeway and the speed limit says 55 miles an hour and I'm going 85, that is not a sin. That's a transgression. Because I'm breaking the law intentionally. You see what I'm saying? It's not like I'm not measuring up. Not that I fall short. It's that I'm breaking the law. I know it's the law, but I'm still going to go 85 anyway. That's called a transgression. And you go deliberate disobedience, willful defiance, breaking God's laws. Now, there's a third word, and I want you to get this one, and it's called iniquity. Iniquity. Now, this one's not used at all in English today, but iniquity means intention to hurt. Intention to hurt somebody. Intention to damage. Intention to do evil. Maybe because you're mad, or you're jealous, or you're envious, or you're bitter, or you're prideful, or somebody's offended you. You want to hurt them back. That's not a sin. That's not a transgression. That's an iniquity. It is an intentional desire to hurt somebody else. When Hitler and the Nazis killed 6 million Jewish people in the death camps, that was not a sin. That was not a transgression. That was an iniquity. They intentionally to hurt those people. They wanted to kill them. They wanted to eradicate that entire race. And that was evil. That was iniquity. It wasn't measuring, not just measuring up. It was intentionally meant to hurt, caused by anger, resentment, envy, hatred, bitterness, whatever. Let me explain these three in football terms. We're back, almost back into football season again. A lot of the teams, NFL teams, won't go to camp this week. If I'm in football and I want to know the difference between a sin, a transgression, and an iniquity, a sin would be kicking a field goal and it misses. It falls short. Or it hits the goal post and it goes over to the side. That is a sin, would be I have missed the mark. I fell short, kicking a goal, and I don't make the field goal. I've missed the mark. A transgression would be offsides. If I jump offsides before the snap is taken in football, I intentionally was going after to get you, and I'm out of bounds, I'm offside. If I go out of bounds with the ball, and I step out of bounds, that's not a sin, that's a transgression. Does that make sense? I've gone out of bounds. I've broken. The law says you stay within these boundaries if you're playing football, but I'm going to go out of bounds, and that's called a transgression. Now, if I come up and I headbutt you and I kick you in the face and I break your thing, that's a personal foul. That's an iniquity. I want to intentionally hurt you. I want to take you out of the game. Jesus once told three stories in Luke chapter 15. The parable, the story of the lost sheep, the story of the lost coin, and the story of the lost son or the prodigal son. Each of those stories explains one of the three kinds of rebellion. Sin, transgression, iniquity. Now David in Psalm 32 talks about all three of them. In fact, here's what he says. Look here on the screen, and it's on your outline. I acknowledge my sin, circle that, to you. I did not cover up my iniquity, circle that, and I confessed my transgressions, circle that, and you forgave my guilt. He says, you know, it really didn't matter which one it was, whether I didn't measure up or I missed the mark or I went out of bounds or I intentionally meant to hurt somebody, you're still going to forgive me if I confess it to you. If I confess it to you. Now, let me just sum up what I'm trying to say in this introduction. We all have broken God's laws. We have all rebelled by sins, transgressions, and iniquities. We've all done it, all three of them. We break God's laws, and then sin has broken the world. And that's why nothing works correctly. Your marriage, your health, your finances, your body, your relationships, nothing works correctly because sin broke everything. Now, what I want to do this weekend is help you understand this in fully, because when you understand what I'm going to teach you this weekend, you will never again have to ask the question, why is this happening? Or why is this happening to me? Those questions are questions that reveal you don't understand what I want to teach you this weekend, what the Bible says. When you understand why life in the world is so hard, you're no longer going to be surprised by it. You're not going to be surprised when things don't go your way. You're not going to be surprised when plans don't pan out. You're not going to be surprised when things actually go bad, and you will be able to handle the hard times of life, the difficulties of life, much, much easier. So why is life so hard? And why do we suffer? Why is everything a battle? Well, the answer is rebellion against God broke everything. That's the reason. Now, what's the result? What's the damage? Well, the damage, friends, is significant because it's in every single area of your life. You might write this down. Nothing works perfectly. Because I have made poor choices, you have made poor choices, the entire human race has made poor choices, everything's broken, and nothing on this planet works perfectly. Sin has damaged everything. Sin has ruined everything. Sin has destroyed everything. Sin has corrupted and spoiled everything. Sin has injured everything. Every relationship, every idea, every dream, every human body, everything has been touched by this damage. Now, the Bible is very specific, and it mentions six dimensions of your life where sin has damaged stuff in your life, and it's not perfect. And if you expect it to be perfect, you're going to be severely disappointed. These six areas or dimensions of your life are talked about intensively in a book called Ecclesiastes. Now, Solomon was the wisest man who ever lived. He was the wealthiest man who ever lived, and at one point, he was the king of Israel. And Solomon wrote three books of wisdom, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon. They're in the middle of the Bible. This fall, we're going to study all three of these books, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Songs of Solomon, because they deal with three great themes of life, wealth, work, and sex. So you got a lot to look forward to this fall. We're going to talk about God's wisdom about your work, God's wisdom about your wealth, and God's wisdom about sex. And we're going to look at all three. But in Ecclesiastes, one of these books, he mentions six dimensions of life that are damaged on our broken planet. Let's look at them real quickly. The first result, the first damage, is natural disasters and deformities. The world has natural disasters and deformities, not because that's what God wants, because that's what sin does in the world. The environment has suffered from human sin and human poor choices, and we're on a broken planet. It's not perfect anymore. We're not living in Eden anymore. As John Milton wrote a very famous poem, paradise was lost. We don't live in paradise. We live on a broken planet. And as a result, we have hurricanes and typhoons and wacky weather and earthquakes and and droughts and floods. And you know, it's amazing to me that insurance calls all these things acts of God, but doesn't call the birth of a baby an act of God. In other words, an act of God is only the negative stuff that happens. God does not want these things happening in the world. The world was broken when sin damaged everything. And so now we have all of these natural disasters happening all around us. And God is as upset by them as we are. The Bible says in Romans 8:20, creation was condemned to lose its purpose. Everything on this planet has lost its original purpose. And that's why we have to get it back. It has to be restored. In the CEV version, it says creation is confused. You know, when you look and you see the birth of, for instance, a pair of Siamese twins who are joined at the head, that's confusing. And you go, what was God thinking there? That wasn't what God wanted. That's what God never planned. That's the result because everything in the world is damaged, including your DNA, your parents' DNA, their parents' DNA, and everything else. Have you figured this out? Your body doesn't work right?
This is Daily Hope with Rick Warren. Now, if you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, simply go to rickwarren.org or iTunes.com and download the Daily Hope with Rick Warren podcast to listen again. Rick will be back in just a moment with a final word of encouragement, so please stay with us. Every day, there's a spiritual war raging all around you. Now, in order to effectively fight this war, you need to be equipped with knowledge of the tactics Satan will use to try to trap you. Learn the powerful defenses and comforts that God promises in the study kit called The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation. In this 7-session DVD series and workbook, Pastor Rick teaches how to overcome the 3 main types of temptations that Satan uses to influence us: passions, possessions, and position. If you expect to win the battle against temptation, it's critical that you know how to fight the predictable ways Satan will tempt you. The Invisible War, Winning the Battle of Temptation, is yours when you support this broadcast ministry with a financial gift. So just go to rickwarren.org today to get your copy. Or you can call 800-600-5004. And if you've got a smartphone or tablet, you can text the word DAILY to 313131. And now here's Rick with a closing thought.
I think Ephesians 4:18 in the Message paraphrase just nails it the way many people live their lives today. It says, they've refused for so long to deal with God that they've lost touch not only with God, but with reality itself. You know, you look around and that seems to be the case everywhere. In schools, in businesses, in government, in Hollywood, in every area of society, there are people who have so lost touch with God, they've also lost touch with reality. And for them, good is bad and bad is good. But you know, when you get closer to God, His light reveals the reality of sin. And in the light of God, we can see that sin causes emotional distress. It causes disappointment. It causes relational distance. It causes discord. Sin causes financial difficulties, and it causes physical decay, even deformities, even death. But most of all, it causes our disconnection from God. Jesus said this, "In the world you will have trouble." Jesus was a realist. But he said, "Take heart, I have overcome the world." John 16:33. Now notice, Jesus didn't say you might have trouble. Jesus says you will have trouble. You can count on having trouble because we live in a broken world where nothing works perfectly. But here's the good news. Jesus says, take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus can do what I can't do. Jesus can do what you can't do. He can fill the empty spaces in your life. He can guide you through those tough times. That is a promise that Jesus intends to keep and He will keep. Let that encourage you today. I'm Rick Warren, and be sure to join me next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope.
This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.